Let's start with Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's the verse that came to me when I thought about all of these great, some composers, insurance salesmen, school teachers, all kinds of people who loved God, who worshiped God, who understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great cloud of witnesses. We're connected to an array of people who served God in their generation. A great cloud of witnesses. Now, those great cloud of witnesses are obviously all in heavenly places. Turn to the 73rd Psalm. Already in the realm of glory. Heaven is the realm of glory, the home of God's residence. This is a marvelous verse. They look down upon us from the other side. The interesting thing, according to men who have talked to God about this issue, is that they do not know physical facts about your life, but they do know spiritual facts, those on the other side. They know if you're growing in God. They know if you're reading. They know if you're praying. They know if you're following God, serving Him, and surrendering. If you're divorced five times, they won't know that. They only know that which is of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? That's not in the Scripture. That's according to men who have conversed with God, found out that from the Lord Himself, so you don't have to believe that. But I believe it because I know who said it. And they're looking down, watching the great writer. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Amazing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Amazing, isn't it? Compassed about. They're in that great company with the company that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Moses, Gideon. Look at Psalm 73:24. When we get to heaven, we might have a musical explosion. Lot of gifts in heaven today. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Verse 24. Thou shalt guide me. We're led by the Spirit of the Lord all the way through this life. God is our shepherd. He goes before us. He's our rear guard. He comes behind us. He sees that we live successfully. He wants us to prosper and to be in health. And then afterwards, when you come to the end of the way, you come to the end of the day, you will see the great King in His glory. You don't know that one? How about face to face with Christ, my Savior? Face to face, when will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Rapture, that's glory. Afterward, receive me to glory. Now look at Acts chapter 7. There is a realm of glory. There is a heavenly abode. There is a place where God dwells and Jesus sits at the Father's right hand. A place prepared for us. This is the death of Stephen, who was martyred. Wonderful sermon giving you the history. Old Testament history. And you come down to verse 54, he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Jesus is always referred to as sitting. This is a singular case where he's referred to as standing. One writer has said he's standing in order to welcome Stephen home. They're fixing to kill Stephen. And Stephen looks up and sees heaven and refers to it as the realm of glory. There is a realm of glory. There is a heavenly abode. There is a place of residence. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, where the departed saints, including these wonderful writers of Christian music, have gone. Here's an interesting verse summarizing the life of Jesus. 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Received into glory. There is a realm of glory. Now, every now and then, the heavens open, the realm of glory comes down to man. There is a glimpse on the earth of that realm of glory. I saw that when my mother died. I saw very clearly somebody helping my mother. Mother was somewhat stooped and bent, and they were helping her, had her around the waist. And the doors opened. I call them doors because they didn't look like gates to me. You know, heavenly things are bigger and better, more magnificent. And you think of a gate like this. But these were huge, and they swung open automatically as she got close. And I caught a glimpse of what was behind those gates. I saw it very clearly. The bright yellows and the golds and the ambers, brilliant in scope. There is a realm of glory. There is a heavenly kingdom. There is a way, place where all the saints are going to gather. And in the far right-hand corner, there was a brilliance and a gold that was brighter than the rest. I assume that's the heavenly city. Don't know that. But there was, all was bright, but there was a place that was brighter. I didn't see Mother enter that place. I saw her approaching the door, and then the vision ended. And so I know from what God said and what I have seen that there is a realm of glory. There is a heavenly kingdom. There is a place where the saints do dwell. But every now and then God opens that realm of heaven and shines down on earth to show us just a glimpse of what is on the other side. Look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 9. That's what happened to the shepherds. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord shone. When it talks about the heavenly kingdom and the glory of that kingdom, there's a series of words that are important. We would say shined. They say shone. In other words, there was a brilliance. Those angels came from that realm of glory. They came from that heavenly kingdom. They came with the announcement of the Savior's birth, and heaven opened. And when heaven opened and those angels came forth to deliver the message, they shone with the glory of that kingdom. You remember Moses came down from getting the Ten Commandments, and he had to cover his face because his face shone and the people were frightened of him. Because there's a glory in the presence of God. There's a glory in the kingdom of God. There is a radiance. And I believe with all of my being, with every fiber of my being, that there's a radiance to the people of God who walk in the Spirit of God. There's an inner radiance that comes out in what you say and what you do. And even every now and then shines on your face. But definitely is reflected in your walk and in your talk. I went back to college a number of times. I took introduction to education. I'm on my last semester. I never finished. The education, the director, he had us sitting in a circle, and he'd come around. Every time he'd come to me, he'd stop like this. I mean, for a few minutes, and then he'd go around. Brilliant man, asked brilliant questions. I was intrigued by the way he approached education. And he did that a number of times. He'd come back to me, and he'd go. And finally he said, "Why do you look like that?" So I thought the glory and I'd go home and we'd quit and not finish, and we did. I know that's what it was. I was praying one day. I was pacing down my hall like this. At the end of the hall in the other room, there happens to be a mirror. I'm just pacing because I'm a pacer. I don't know, the Spirit gets to move, and I don't know how you stand still. People that sit still, I can't do that. And as I turned around, I happened to look up at that mirror, and I saw my face was white as a sheet. The glory had fallen upon me. I was not physically aware of that, but I saw it reflected in the mirror. I've seen it a number of times on people who have come to the altar for prayer. They'll fall under the power of that Spirit, and the glory will fall upon them in manifested measure. There's always a measure of glory, but there is a manifested measure. There's a measure that comes from heaven that shines down upon lives that reflects that great kingdom that's yet beyond. And that's what the shepherd saw. That's what Stephen saw. He looked up into that realm of glory, and he saw the Lord. Now look at chapter 9 of Luke. We'll never get through this. I'm beginning to tremble. This is Jesus praying in the garden, begins with verse 28. Verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. That's what you see in Moses. His raiment was white and glistering. It was radiant. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. They came from the heavenly realm. They came from the kingdom of glory. They came from that place that's on the other side for you and I. And the glory of that place shone on Jesus and on Moses and on Elias. Now, I like the descriptions that's given in the other Gospels. Look at Matthew 17, because it adds to our understanding. 17:2. And was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Shine as the sun, white as light. The other word was glistering, which is radiant, which is rays of light. Now look at Mark, what Mark says about this same incident. See, Jesus, before his death, stepped into the presence of the Father, and the angels came and ministered unto him. Moses and Elias came, and the realm of that glory, just for a second, the glory and the glory and the kingdom of that glory came to earth. Verse 3, and his raiment became shining, white as snow, so as no fuller on earth could white them. White as snow, bright as the sun, white as snow. Mark 9. White as the snow, bright as light. That's a description of that kingdom. Jesus praying in that garden, that kingdom opened up to him, and a measure of the glory of that kingdom descended upon him. The angels came and brought some of the glory of that kingdom with them. Moses was in the presence of God to get the Ten Commandments, and the glory of that kingdom fell upon him. It happened then. It's happened all through Bible history. It's happened today. It comes as a light. Now look at Isaiah 6. Moses stepped into the presence of Moses. Isaiah stepped into the presence of the Lord. He gives us a different description of that glory. But you will see all of these descriptions have something in common. Verse 3, one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Well, if it was filled with smoke, we know it was a bright smoke. Now look at Ezekiel. And then you'll see references, I'm calling an earthquake, to the movement. There are other incidents where the glory came and caused shaking or movement. But look at Ezekiel and get Ezekiel's description. Chapter 10. Why would God open up that heavenly realm and pour a measure of it down on earth even for a short time, even for seconds or minutes? Verse 4, chapter 10 of Ezekiel. The glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. The house was what? Filled with a cloud. The court was full of the brightness. So it's called a cloud. Brightness of his glory. It's called smoke. It'd be a bright cloud. Glistening smoke, white smoke, something that shone like the sun, bright as the sun on snow, that kingdom. I saw it, just for a second, but I saw it. And why would God open the door of heaven and pour part of that kingdom down on man? Never for extended periods of time. But for even glimpses, God's always done that. Well, look at Exodus 33. Where God is, his glory is. Moses said to God, verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make my goodness. So the glory of God is good. It's referred to as glory in verse 18 and goodness in verse 19. I will make my goodness pass before thee and proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What a wonderful thing associated with the glory of the Lord, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the graciousness of God, and the name of the Lord, all associated with the glory. And he said to Moses, you can't see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Verse 22, it shall come to pass while my glory passes by. When God's face passed by, his glory passed by. You see that. And when his face and his glory passed by, his goodness, his mercy, his graciousness, and his mighty name were manifest. So where God is, his glory is. And look at John chapter 1. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, as the only begotten, came in glory. So where Jesus is, the glory was. Where the Father is, the glory is. Well, what about the Spirit of God? Look at Romans. The triune God, the three members who make one, are manifested in glory. Come in glory. Bring with them where they move, where they walk, great glory. And where there's glory, there's graciousness. And where there's glory, there's mercy. And where there's glory, there's goodness. That makes it important to us that heaven open and pour forth on us that glory, doesn't it? This is Jesus. I'll show you the connection here. Verse 4 of chapter 6. We are buried with Jesus by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in new life. He was raised by the what? Glory. By the glory. Now look at chapter 8, verse 11. This is one you know. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in him. Here it said that the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Romans 6, it says the glory raised him from the dead. But where you have the Spirit of God, you have the glory of God. Where God manifests himself, he comes in great glory. Where Jesus moves, there is glory. The glory of that kingdom. Now in the Old Testament, God had an earthly temple. First a tent, then an earthly temple. And he appeared and in that temple and filled that temple. I want you to see those references. Look at 1 Kings 8. He filled that, what was a cloth and wood building, later became a more material building. And God came and filled that house. Verse 11, the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. That's the glory. The glory is referred to as cloud, as smoke, as shining, as snow, glistening, radiant, brightness. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. What filled the house? The glory filled it. But this is talking about a building. But now, aren't you the house of God? Aren't you the temple of the Holy Ghost? When you see people slain in the Spirit, you see a measure of that glory fills them. There are measures of glory. Obviously, if God came in his fullness, we would probably evaporate. I'm willing to give it a try, but I know from my own experience, from the experience of other ministers, it doesn't take much of the power of God or the anointing to come upon you before you want to say, that's it, enough, just enough, enough. It's almost painful. It's a different pain, but it's painful sometimes. And they can, whew, I've got that now. It filled the house. And now you're the house of God. Fills you. People are slain in the Spirit. They're filled to some measure, to some degree, that they could no longer stand. It filled the house. The glory came. The cloud came. The smoke came. The brightness came. And there's a filling. Look at Exodus 40. I normally know where they are. but not today. Exodus 40, 34. A cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord, what? Filled the tabernacle. The cloud covered. The glory filled. Look at Exodus 16. Oh, come, let us adore him. Verse 7. In the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord. Do you see it come sometimes in visible form? Sometimes you sense the glory, but you don't see it. But sometimes you do see it. I have a sense of it today. I don't see anything, but I have a strong sense of it. You see the glory of the Lord. It's interesting why the glory of the Lord came, because he hears your murmuring against the Lord. What are we that you murmur against us? People murmuring against leadership, murmuring against Moses and Aaron, and God showed up in great glory. Visible glory where he could be seen. I think that was a hint, don't you? I'm not real sure, but I think that was a hint. Look at Leviticus 9. The glory, the cloud, the shining, the brightness, the heavenly kingdom that is, that shines on earth. It shone on earth. When the angels came, it shone on earth in the life of Israel over and over again. 9:6, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commands you that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. In this same chapter, look down at verse 23. Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to who? To who? Don't exclude yourself. There'll come that day when you'll have a sense of that glory. There may come that day when you see that glory. Dr. Hagin often said he could see it start at the back of the church and roll towards the front like a bright cloud. I've never seen that, but from what I know, I believe that. And from what the scripture says, I know that's right. There was a gentleman walking down the street. Had very much the same experience that Paul did. See, Paul walking, going down the road to Damascus, says there shone a great light. What do you suppose that was? Was the glory. I'm going to prove that to you, but it was the glory. This man, in our century of time, walking down and saw a great light, intrigued by that light, he followed that light into an auditorium where they were having a revival meeting, and he got saved. I read a gentleman, a coal miner on his way home, heard the noise and the singing and the rejoicing from the church at 3 a.m. Couldn't believe that. He decided he'd go see what was happening at 3 a.m. at the church. Nothing normally happened at 3 a.m. at the church. And he stepped into the doorway and was stuck. He couldn't get in. He couldn't get out. The glory fell upon him. I've seen that happen right here at Family Worship Center. One was a gentleman in the aisle right next to me. He was an extraordinarily gifted sinner. His wife had been begging him for weeks and weeks and weeks to come, and he finally came, and the glory of the Lord fell upon him, fell out of the pew, fell into the floor, and could not get up. And he's so pathetic, he keeps saying, but help me up, but help me up. I thought, never am I going to help you up. I didn't stick you down there, and you couldn't get him up till God releases him anyway. But the glory comes for purpose. It's not just a show and demonstration. It's not the entertainment of the church. It's what the church needs from time to time, what the sinner needs. Paul going down that road, it says there's shone a great light. Now let's look at that verse and let me show you where Paul referred to that light as the glory. Acts chapter 9. Verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined. What shines? The glory. What is a light like the sun, the glory? Shined right about him, a light. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Where does the glory come from? But why does it come? Well, obviously, it changed Paul. The glory often brings surrender. It changed that coal miner. It changed that old boy. I prayed for him weeks later. He was very ill. And he was different. That's the nicest thing that ever happened to him. Glued to the floor. The glory came. The glory came, and it changed him. And it changed that man, following a light into an auditorium. The glory so often brings surrender And it brought to Paul's surrender. Chapter 22 of 11, Paul referred to it as the glory. When he's retelling, giving his testimony, telling his story, he said, I could not see for the glory of that light. I could not see. Now, what blinded Paul for those few days? He didn't have a sickness or a disease. What blinded him? Glory. The glory. He says he couldn't see for the glory. And the effects of that glory stayed on him until Ananias came and with laying on hands released him. He couldn't see for the glory. The glory made a difference physically. It made such a difference in Moses physically, they said, you have to cover your face. Now, when God came down to talk to Moses about the Ten Commandments, it said the mountain moved. Where did we see that? Isaiah saw in heaven the posts of the heavenly place moved. What do you suppose happened that shook that prison and let Paul and Silas out? Unlocked everybody's bands and every door. And nobody was harmed and the building wasn't harmed. What caused that shake and that movement? It was God's glory. What caused that surrender of the jailer? Just one touch of the glory. Just one touch of the glory makes a world of difference. Now, ministers that come and have that ministry and sing 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 and sing, and if you're not a singer, you think, enough already, enough. But they're singing in the glory. They're worshiping God so that that glory manifests because it causes change. It causes surrender. And look at 2 Corinthians. Marvelous word of the Lord. Verse 18. We all. Chapter 3. We all. How many? The glory is for all people. All of Israel saw the glory. It filled the church. It filled the temple. It filled the tabernacle. And they saw it. We all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, are changed. The glory changes you. It causes surrender and it causes change. For years, a lady was a pain in the neck. I worked for decades. I smiled. I sent birthday cards because you have to overcome evil with good. I begged the Lord to set me free of the resentment that would build up. I'd ditch it and it'd come back. I'd ditch it and it'd come back. You know, I'm smiling. I'm prayed through and then here she comes. I'm thinking, 5 minutes with her and you think, okay, back to prayer. You may not know anybody like that, but I did. I begged the Lord, I pleaded with Him for help. I prayed, I pointed out to Him, I'm overcoming evil with good. I sent her a birthday card, I talked to her, I was never rude, I was never unkind, I never rushed her along, I never said, look, lady, 5 minutes is all you get from me. You're the last person on earth I want to talk to. That's exactly how I felt. Never said that. I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I had done right. And you have to do right. If you want God's help, you better do right. Well, we had a minister here who sang and sang and sang and sang and sang. And the glory fell. And I'm telling you know how long I fought that battle? Over 20 years. I mean, if she'd said I was moving to Washington, D.C., Washington State, even across to Georgia, I'd have been thrilled. But she didn't ever go anywhere. I got where I hated her. Really hated her. I can't tell you what all she did. I just hated her. And yet I kept smiling. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. I thought, shoo. But that day, after all those years, I don't know how many times I prayed, how many times I thanked God He's going to set me free. The glory fell. It fell in such measure. I was totally free in a second of time. Totally, completely free. The glory brings change. It brings surrender. It brings from heaven the thing that you need. It places you in a position to receive the fullness. For it places your body, your temple, in a position to be filled with God, to be filled with His glory. God comes, and He always comes in glory. Jesus comes in glory. The Holy Spirit manifests in great glory, sometimes visible, sometimes seen, sometimes not seen, but always perceptible. And Wayne asked me the next night, the meeting was over that night, it was the last night. I actually went to Pastor, told him what happened. He laughed and laughed. He said, "You're the third one tonight." I loved it. God said, "I'm sweeping through here and taking care of all these people who have really suffered and like to be free." You know what tribulation means? Antagonism of persons and pressure of circumstances. I know both. And that was antagonism of persons. So the next night, Wayne said, "What do you want to do tonight?" I said, "Let's go see so-and-so." He said, "You're kidding, right?" I said, "No, I just love her. I want to say hello." See, the glory comes from heaven. When heaven opens and that shining, that light comes, you're different. You ask Paul if it made a difference. You know what Isaiah, when he saw that glory and the building shook and he described it as smoke. He said, "Woe is me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He saw his need instantly. And God said, "Stand up." Placed a coal of fire on his lips, a sign of the cleansing of the Lord. And then he said, "Who'll go for me?" And he said, "Here, my Lord, send me." Just like that, he's a missionary. Just like that. Why? Because God came. And the glory fills the building. Over and over in the Old Testament, it filled the building. So much so that many times the priest could not get into the building. That means it's a tangible substance. It's a tangible substance because it fills the building. Now, in Dr. Kenneth Hagin's testimony, he talks about the glory filling his room, his bedroom, where he was laying dying. And his grandmother, determined to get in there, came through the door and bounced off of the door. The door was open, but she bounced off of the door, couldn't get in. So he said, not to be discouraged, because she was going to get to her baby, she backed up across the dining room and ran again. And when she hit that frame, she bounced off again because the glory had filled the room. It's a tangible substance. It is something. It's a heavenly substance. It's perceptible. Sometimes just three goosebumps in a row, like today, and you think, "Shoo. My, my, my." And God still comes to fill His temples. That's you. He still comes to change. The glory of the Lord always brings great awe, great worship. 2 Chronicles 7:3. Here's another description. All of these descriptions are similar. And the word fire is used. Well, fire is bright. Fire radiates. Fire is often like the sun. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now look at verse 1. When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord, what? Fill the house. The priest could not enter the house. That was Dr. Hagin's grandmother's experience. Because the glory of the Lord filled the house. Yet I'm His house now. I'm His temple, and He fills me. And that fire burns in me. It burns in you. And that cloud comes. That bright shining, that light, that glistening that's white as snow, white as the sun. Why? To make change. To enhance your worship and your fellowship with heaven. To make great announcements, like unto you is born this day in the city of David. Nothing like a glorious announcement. I say every now and then, "Lord, you want to say anything at all?" I'm listening. Make announcements. Make change. Now look at Psalms. Wow. 63. I love this verse. Two verses. Because this should be our desire. O Lord, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He said, I want to see your power and your glory in the sanctuary as I've seen you before. He said, I long. Notice the words. I seek. I thirst. I long. I seek. I thirst. I long. I want to see the power and I want to see the glory. He'd seen it before in the sanctuary. That was Jonah's experience. Look at Jonah. Jonah was remembering. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Verse 7, Jonah says, chapter 2, my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He remembered the Lord. He remembered what he had seen in the temple. And just like the psalmist, I seek, I thirst, I long for change, for awe, for worship. Angels from the realms of glory spread God's light o'er all the earth. Ye who hear redemption's story now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Angels from the realms of glory wing their flight o'er all the earth. Printed in the newspaper in London, England, 1816. You're connected to God's glory. Imagine what heaven said. Who are you? Handel. Nice to meet you. Moses is not going to be the only important person there. Da Vinci. Nice to see you.